Mrs. Hagan, let's call the roll, please.
Mrs. Bennett?
Present.
Mr. Santelli?
Present.
Mr. Knight?
Present.
Mr. Sams?
Present.
Mrs. Lovell?
Present.
Okay. Is there any public participation? Okay. Building updates.
Well, if you've been driving by lately, you see roof. We have roof going on. So the roof on the gym is dried on. They've probably got the decking and half the insulation on what's the academic wing, which is the B and the F wing. Pretty much finished the E wing at the end of last week. And they're going to continue to move on. They did make a change in the roofing material so that they can actually put roof on down to right between 15 and 20 degrees. So that's going to allow them to do a little bit more roof work, get a little bit more on the roof, so that as it gets cold out, they should have plenty to work on interior to keep the building on progress. So they're just plugging away.
There's a lot of drone pictures out there on Facebook that look very cool, showing.
That was a very, very neat thing, and CT Taylor is coordinating with our middle school program.
Okay.
And late last week, we got a hold of the pictures, and they're taking the drone out and getting, and they're gonna go out, you know, as often as they can schedule it, and that will help us kind of see that aerial progress, which is really neat. There are a couple of really, really neat stadium pictures.
Yeah. Very cool. Item 4, agenda. Are there any additions or corrections to the agenda? Can I have a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved. Second.
Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Mr. Knight?
Yes.
Mr. Sams?
Yes.
Mr. Santelli?
Yes.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0. Under item 5, board business committee reports. Policy.
We have not met since the last.
Okay. We have the new thing. Do you want to schedule one before the end of the year?
How many was that?
I didn't look at it that close. It wasn't a big stack when I printed them. Just wait.
I don't see any emergency unless you saw
any. No, I didn't seem like they were just the regular ones.
Okay, community engagement, Rob?
We haven't met.
Technology and instruction. We did meet a couple weeks ago.
He said he can't hear.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Most of the board members are staying here.
Okay, I'll try to. You can all try to speak louder. Technology and instruction. We did meet about 2 weeks ago, I think it was. A lot of things are happening. Angie provided us with a lot of updates, as well as Sharon and Eric. A couple things that I wanted to point out that I thought were very interesting is the amount of training that is going on between our buildings to keep our teachers, our staff up to date on what's available in terms of technology. I know Angie meets with two members from each building on a regular basis, and there's, I don't know, stuff I've never even heard of, Flubberoo and Kahoot and different stuff that she's training the teachers on so that they can kind of pick and choose what works best for their classroom. Another thing I wanted to mention was this sophomore language arts program. And now I forget the name of it.
Achieve 3000,
which Angie and Sharon explained to us. It is very tailored to the individual. So they do their assignments, do their reading on the computer, take an assessment, and based upon the results of that assessment, they either move forward or they stay where they're at, or they're, you know, there's other things that they do, and it's so individualized. I thought it was very impressive, in which this is probably one of the best tools that we have to make sure that we're tailoring our education to each individual's needs. Eric, was there anything that you wanted to mention on the special education aspect? I know there's a lot going on.
Preschool's working on step up the quality at this time. And just continue to work on compliance and making sure we're meeting deadlines and those things for
PTRs and IEPs, but other than that, it's just a busy time of year and a lot going on.
And Sharon, I can't say enough about what you and everyone did to put together the human trafficking session on the 18th, which was fabulous. I know that you're continuing to work on that with the different buildings and what we're going to do. Is there anything that you want to share right now?
We are planning a meeting with all of the administrators and the faculty at Grace Church because we're going to do our next steps, and then we're discussing our next topic. But we're discussing our follow-up with students and then start planning for the next topic that we feel our community would need to have more information on. We felt like the turnout was just tremendous.
It's fabulous.
We count, I think, 486 people there, nearly 500 people. Wow. And the thing that really impressed me was afterwards, all of the different speakers were downstairs and people stayed. They were there until nearly 9:30. So that was really impressive.
Yeah, I thought it was fantastic. I mean, it shows how much there is to learn and how interested our community is in learning about it and protecting, trying to protect our students. So, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome, but that was a huge group effort.
Yeah, it's fabulous. Operations.
We met with Athletic Council, and you all received in your updates from Dave last week some information. Fundraising for naming rights and advertising was discussed extensively. We're going to have something hopefully in the next week or two concerning guidelines for the naming rights or how they're raising funds. So right after that meeting, we did get an update on the status of the fundraising. So they're actually, as far as pledges, they're actually ahead of the game, according to the turf company. So that was good news. You want to talk a little bit about building use and the forms?
Yeah, one thing you guys got in your email was kind of, it's really the same building use form we've been using. Reworked the front part, and on the back sheet of that page kind of had a schedule of values. That was really kind of came about from the area business managers kind of started the discussion, as well as me being new to the district. I kind of, when the form came to me and I had to determine how much do we charge if they're not one of, or they're not affiliated, I had a very difficult time of figuring out exactly how much that was. It wasn't documented very well. So in collaboration with a lot of area schools and in collaboration with our district personnel, we kind of came up with that schedule of values so that if we're in a position that we have someone that wants to use the facilities and they're not affiliated with us and we need to charge them, it's very transparent on this is how much it's gonna basically cost the facility to be used. That's not us making any money, that's basically bare bones. You know, if we run the lights, if we run those kinds of things, if we have to use custodial or maintenance personnel, if we have to use kitchen staff, that's really just covering our expenses and that's it. So we're not, you know, doing a fundraiser by, you know, running these types of things. And I'll say, you know, for the 3-4 months I've been here, I think we've had maybe 2 or 3 that are truly not affiliated with the district that we have to charge. And it was, and I saw that coming, so I was trying to get out ahead of it a little bit. And especially with new facilities come on, people are going to probably want to use auditoriums and new gyms a little bit more. So just being transparent on what our operating costs would be for those situations.
You probably didn't see my email, but I had a question for you. Does that mean that you're going to take over the scheduling of the facilities?
No, I did email you back.
Oh, okay. Then I didn't see your email.
That's all right. We're really not changing the process at all. It's still on the administrators in the buildings to schedule their events. Those forms still come to me all the time anyways. And having a district level approval gives a little checks and balances to the system. But it's really on the building principals to make sure that they're checking their building calendars so that there's no conflicts in their building. You know, when it gets to us at the district level, it's, you know, I don't want to say it's a rubber stamp because it's not, but if the building principal's okay with that event, it's really at the district level deciding, are we going to charge them or not? Is this a, you know, affiliated to the district or not? So really, it's still on the buildings themselves to schedule their events.
Jake, are you planning on having any district level calendar? You know, I know each building has their own individual calendars, but no place that I know of does it really come together and say, oh, we can't really have this and that at the same time. And there's nothing new about that. That's been a problem here in Norton forever.
I'm investigating a program that I used in the past at Green Local. It's a program called DynaCal, and it does that exact thing. So if you use that software program, it helps you with conflicts. It helps you look at a district level of what's going on at the same time. It's a web-based program. And really, in the next couple of weeks, I was going to meet with Mr. Dunn and then meet with the principals. Because to implement something like that, that really covers the whole district, you need to get buy-in from everybody. So I want to make sure that we discuss it with all the administrators, that everybody's on board, that they like the program. It's not a high-dollar program, but in order for it to function correctly, we all have to be on board. So that's something that I'm investigating and hoping to implement some type of district level.
Okay, thank you.
Pat, I had a question for you on the naming rights. Who's involved in determining
that? Talk louder,
Jen. Oh, sorry. Who's involved in determining that? The naming rights for the...
Well, that's the input that the committee is looking for. The Athletic Council is looking for some acknowledgement from us that it's okay or not okay. And Brian Miller actually came up with a form that says, you know, if you want to consider naming a portion of the field, for instance, the turf itself, it would cost X amount of dollars, or the track, or the building, or the stadium itself. So he's doing some investigation right now to determine what that's going to look like, and let's say there's a big donor out there who wants to just name the whole stadium. Are they going to say, well, you've already named the turf and you've already named the track, so he's going to try and put a presentation together for us so that we will be able to see what his plans look like. And right now, he's also looking for a determination from the board as to whether we want to do that and what our restrictions on that will be. So he will be coming to us with a presentation and ask for our input.
And I would think that that's something that we want to talk to OSBA about, because there is a whole slew of case law that deals with naming rights before we even get that far. And to make sure that the way we're setting it up, we don't have any issues.
Yeah, and we really haven't begun to set up anything.
Okay.
It's more looking at the parameters and the framework from which we may set something up.
Okay. But I think down the road, that's something that we should consider.
Probably not too far down the road.
No.
Right.
Yeah. Finance.
I think Jake's...
Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was going to show a couple videos here
about
the Navigate software. So I think Eric's going to work the lights for me. we've been looking at some software, and really it's a Ohio-based company dealing with safety plans, dealing with the safety process. All right, a little light. Wait, no, I think I can do it.
Want my phone flashlight?
I was going to say.
No, I think I can get it. So this software, it's called Navigate Prepared. If you just do a Google search, you can do a little research on it. But it's really a complete integration program to get district-wide integration into the safety plan,
as well as get your first responders involved. It's really to try to help make the process as efficient as possible.
Fast, effective crisis management. No time is it more important than when our children are threatened by natural or man-made disasters in our schools. How can you mitigate their risk? With Navigate Prepared from Lauren Innovations, a proven comprehensive set of tools for emergency preparedness. It was developed in collaboration with superintendents, school board members, and first responders, specifically to meet the needs of pre-K through 12 school buildings with district budgets in mind. Using secure web-based technology, Prepared gives first responders eyes-on access to floor plans, emergency protocols, call lists, even live video feeds, all from any internet-capable device, including computers, tablets, and smartphones. This system allows school administration and emergency personnel to determine their strategy for handling a crisis before they arrive on site, enabling a quicker, more accurate response. Prepared eliminates the need to use often outdated and inaccessible binders, which can waste precious seconds in a high-stress situation. This technology keeps up-to-date information on file and makes it accessible in real time, so school and emergency personnel can find what they need when they need it, whether during a crisis or during training sessions to establish protocols. With Navigate Prepared, everyone in your district will be on the same page, moving smoothly and quickly to handle any threat. And because the system is so easily updated, policies and procedures can be created and revised from lessons learned, affording you the opportunity to continually improve your emergency preparedness plans. Superintendents and first responders in school districts that have implemented the Navigate Prepared have, without question, praised its efficacy. If you'd like to hear what they had to say, just check out our website. If you'd like more information on how you can affordably implement Prepared in your district, contact us today.
Go ahead and show one more.
Navigate Prepared is a secure cloud-based system that gives first responders access to school safety information. Emergency information is organized for preparation, compliance, response, and reunification. Organize each school by location for easy access to school's information. Up-to-date emergency call list with photos for easy identification. Documents gives you one place for all current emergency operation plans, so you know where your latest version is located. It is critical that interactive floor plans are available for preparation and response. Navigate Prepared gives first responders the specific information they need within seconds. Icons can be easily toggled on and off to quickly locate information. Identify north by dragging the icon onto the floor plans and rotating. Camera locations are identified on the floor plans with links to specific live camera feeds. From AEDs to water shutoff locations, all the important emergency information can be identified on floor plans through the icons. With a few clicks, areas are identified with information and images specific to that area. Any text can be added to the floor plan. The legend identifies the icons in addition to specific information about the school. Save a customized floor plan as a PDF for sharing, distribution, and compliance. Virtual binders replace the outdated, inconsistent three-ring binders and flip charts. Edits made throughout the site in all binders. As you can see, Navigate Prepared assists with emergency preparation, organization, and collaboration with first responders. Navigate Prepared is also your vehicle towards compliance. When seconds count, count on Navigate Prepared.
All right, as you can see, that is Ohio-based company because they did show Strasburg there. It's down in the New Philly area, which is nice because the state of Ohio did change a bunch of policies over the summer for how safety plans need to be formatted. That doesn't mean our safety plan is not efficient and effective because it is right now, but it means basically they moved around where some of the text needs to go and things like that. the software here basically has a wizard to help build that kind of stuff. But really, it's the integration with the first responders that's a huge thing. They can pull up a floor plan. The one thing they help us do is they'll come into all the buildings. They'll, you know, when they, what they didn't show there is they'll hover over a classroom, and they're going to take a 360 photo of that classroom, so, or like this room. So before they'd come charging in the door, they could see that there's maybe a hiding area back in the corner that they could see, that they could actually look at that 360 photo. So it's a really powerful software. It does a lot more than just, you know, a binder sitting in the office. Or I did grab these because essentially I believe these are kind of like our flip charts that if we go into a lockdown of what they need to do. What this does is there's an app on the phone now that you basically, once they're loaded in there, you can put the app on your phone. And what a lot of districts have done, North Royalton is one of them. They actually had a situation and they used this, and they said it went very smoothly. The teachers used their phones. Those people that maybe don't have smartphones, or if it's a sub, they have some like iPod touches or small things like that, that they just preload it and hand it to them, and that's part of their safety plan. So it really allows for, I mean, because if we need to make a change to something like this, how do you get that changed? How do you get it out to people? Now I can just go out, load it, make a change to our lockdown policy, shoot an email out to the staff and say, hey, reload that app. And it pulls it up. And it just keeps everything a little bit more concise and together. It's a really nice program.
Did I understand it right that it gives first responders access to our cameras?
At some point we could have that happen, as long as they're IP cameras, which I have to get with Angie to see how many. I know some of ours are, some of ours were analog old cameras that we converted, but the dispatcher could be looking at, you know, what's going on in the hallways and giving direction to the first responders.
So there's a potential that if there were to be a crisis that they could identify where that individual is located?
Correct.
Do you know whether that's compatible with all of our buildings or just with the new high school, or what would we need to do?
I'm going to have to look at what our camera system exactly is. I know the system we have district-wide is an IP phone system or an IP camera system. I don't know, like that camera right there, I can tell you that one's an IP camera from my technology background. But I know we've got some analog ones that were here before, because in talking to Angie, they had to buy converters. But I believe I can't speak in 100% certainty, but if we've integrated it with our current system, we should be able to pull that video because it has an IP address attached to it.
Is this a one-time fee?
There's a one-time upfront fee. And then there is a reoccurring yearly fee that's quite a bit less. The one thing they did do for us is they're going to do all of our buildings, and then when the new building comes on, they're going to do that one for free, no additional cost, because we're a year away, but we don't really want to wait a year to implement this.
As well as any changes to...
Yeah, if we need to change the middle school because we did some renovations there, they're gonna help us change those floor plans. A lot of what they do, obviously providing the software, but coming in and getting those floor plans done in a timely fashion is where, you know, most of the upfront cost is, you know, they come in getting all the videos showing where all the icons are. I mean, every pole station will have an icon on it. We not only need to have that for compliance for the state, but it's nice in the situation where if first responders need to know where an AED is, they just click, they toggle right on that. It shows them the AED locations. Any other questions?
So you're looking at this from a compliance?
I think a small faction of it is compliance. I think it's more making it a usable, the safety plan itself very usable in case we have a situation that we need to get to.
Have you talked to the local officials about this?
I haven't talked to local PD yet. That's one thing Dave and I were getting ready to talk to, but I know in talking to area schools that have implemented that, fire departments and police departments have really liked it, and, you know.
What local one uses it?
Wadsworth uses it. Go a little bit north. Wadsworth's been using it for about 4 or 5 years. They kind of bought into it when they first started. And if you go up a little north, I know North Royalton uses it, Chardon uses it. We get some advantage pricing through the Ohio School Council. They've bought in with them, so we get a certain amount off, and a lot of the Ohio School Council schools use it. Cuyahoga Falls uses it. So it's very well received.
And I did share early on with Chief D'Alessandro, not in any great detail, but just something we're looking at to get a quick reaction.
Well, it might be good for you and them to go look at their implementation.
Well, and another app they're testing, I believe they're doing it in North Royalton, is actually what they're going to call Navigate Respond. And it actually will allow you to use the app on the phone or a digital device like that to communicate. So the office has a lockdown situation. They would just send the alert out. They might use the PA initially, but then they send the updated alerts out through the phone. As well as it's actually going to integrate with Progress Book, so class lists will pop down, especially when you have a sub in the classroom that doesn't know the kids. It'll pull the class list down, and they can actually send back through that app, I'm missing these three kids, we need to find them. You know, so it's really a great communication tool. And that was, you know, when I heard the presentation the first time, that was one, that app part was one that hopefully they can get. I know they're beta testing it right now in North Royalton, actually this week. So it's, you know, it's one of those, you can get it, getting it up on the technology allows it to, you to make changes so much faster when you need to make changes, instead of printing out binders and where's the binder and what version of the binder do you have? Everybody's looking at the same thing.
Oh, technology moving forward, binders are a thing of the past.
Yeah.
When are you looking or hoping to implement this?
My response would be ASAP.
Okay.
I'm actually, the safety plan part of it, some of the big compliance part is actually, they've made that free to the whole state of Ohio, because what Homeland Security did by changing those, you know, they changed them on everybody and kind of snuck it in. So it's like a wizard. It really puts, you know, the binders together well. But having the floor plans, having the integration, having the communication tool, that's really what I think, you know, sells the product. We do have a professional development on the 29th of January that involves the safety and security plan, and I would like that to be a big part of what that training is about.
Yeah, ideally, the schedule that Jake and I had talked about was to share with the board, get any questions that the board would have, seek board approval, work with the police department so that, yes, on January 29th, then that becomes not, you know, that becomes a big part of that day in helping our staff look at that app piece for security. And Denny, you had a question?
Yeah, Jake, you said that it allows for communication. And I don't know if I just didn't hear this part, but can, like, as a staff member, like as a teacher, can I respond to that to say, hey, like, my classroom is okay?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, through that app. That's the idea behind it.
Yeah.
And all I have are, you know, what they told me it hopefully we'll be able to do, because it's obviously in the beta test phase. But yeah, you can communicate right back and forth through that. And it keeps in a situation where, you know, if you're missing a kid, you know, hey, I sent a kid to the library, make sure they're down.
Right. When we ran into that, when we had the lockdown when the subway was robbed earlier in the year, we have Ryan has us all set up on a blast on our phones, but it's through the Remind app, which only sends to us, and mm-hmm. we can't respond back unless we text him directly. But we've been instructed that in those scenarios, you know, we got to keep the lines open so that if, you know, superintendent, whoever needs to get a hold of Mr. Shaner,
yes,
we're not all trying to get a hold of him. So if this app allows us to respond, and maybe, I don't know how it would work, but obviously he would know, okay, this room's okay. So we had some students that were in restrooms
right
during that time.
Yes.
We didn't know where they were,
yes,
at.
And then that's the idea behind the app, is to keep phone lines open and be able to communicate through that app.
But the, so I'm just, my guess is the app would be all live online. So like if Denny was updating saying his class is all right, then it wouldn't just be Mr. Shaner that would see that, it would be the police that.
And I can't answer that question, because I haven't seen that yet, since it's just new. But that's the, you know.
Right, the idea would be.
Yeah, that would be a good addition to that app. Hopefully they thought of that.
What's the cost?
The initial cost is $12,500. And a lot of that is them coming in to help get it set up. The annual recurring cost is $3,000.
And then who owns it? You or Angie? Like who?
No, it would be me.
Is there anything else out there like this?
I haven't ran into anything that's this comprehensive.
Okay.
Especially the way, and you know, good marketing on their part. They really partnered with Homeland Security to integrate the safety plans and to make all of that process done very well. And from what I've, you know, in communicating with Wadsworth's business manager, he said from the start, in its infancy, they were just a great company that you called them and said, hey, what about this? Just like she mentioned about the app, what about making sure that the communication goes this way? And they made those types of things happen. So the referrals I've gotten are as good as anything that they've presented to me.
I think you need to find out how many IP cameras you have. Mm-hmm. Benefit.
Well, and we've got quite a few IP cameras. I mean, I think most of them are.
Yeah, they are.
And some of those analog ones that, I mean, I'm sure the district a long time ago didn't buy a whole bunch of analog cameras, because those analog systems, I've been in enough schools, you'd put like six throughout the building and that was security. So as everything went IP and you can add cameras a lot easier, that's. And even integrating into the current system that we have, it has to have an IP address. So I think what happened is they bought converters to make them go analog to digital, and then.
Yeah. They'll just be slower on the network.
A little bit. Any other questions?
Are you going to put this on in December?
For
is
approval?
That your plan?
Yes. That was our plan.
I think you should meet with the city then right away,
and we've been trying to set that up.
Yeah. Thank you, Jake. Finance.
We had a finance committee meeting on November 23rd.
I'm going to try something here. Now talk, see if that makes it better. Oh,
not yet.
You can't put it there. It's in front of the
okay. I thought maybe since they couldn't hear, that would help. Never mind. Unless you want to jump up there and move the speaker.
We met on the 23rd because the state, for one thing, did not get their budget to us until late this fall. And I don't know if anybody saw the newspaper, but the state cut schools a total of $40 million this fall. So we lost about $400,000 a year. With our little 1.9 levy that we had before, we were fine for the next few years, but when the state cut us $400,000, we are now pretty much in the red in 18. So I sent out an email to everybody about going for an operating levy. I don't think we really have much of a choice. There are a couple numbers we threw out at the meeting. Was a 2.5 mil, a 2.9 mil. Those both would probably take us to in the black until 2019 2020. We were doing really great. It was very frustrating because we were taking a levy that was only supposed to last 2 years and it was going to stretch about five. So we keep getting hit with these things, and so does everybody else. Copley lost a million. We were lucky we only lost 400,000. So the other thing we talked about was a security levy for the SRO. On the security levies, there's actually a title of security levy. You can only go for 5 years. And we had discussed a 0.4 mil which would bring in about $111, and that would pay for the salary.
$111,000.
$100, what'd I say?
$111.
Oh, $111,000, yeah. Yeah, wow, that would've been low. $111,000. And what, you can use that for a person and for physical stuff. So we could pay for something like that with it. We could buy new cameras. We could do those kind of things. So that would be for 5 years, and it would be $1.17 a month per $100,000 house. So we really need to discuss it today, and we need to vote on it today if we decide to, and next week, because the deadline to get on the March ballot is December 16th. So it's open for discussion.
Why don't we talk about the operating levy first?
Pat and I already, we're 2.5 hours, we beat this one with a stick. It's the monetary amount is just about the same. The 2.5 mil levy is $7 a month, $7.29 a month. And the 2.9 mil levy is $8.46 a month. It's not a huge difference.
$8 a what?
46.
But it generates over $100,000.
Yeah, the 2.5 generates 696,000.
Difference, I mean.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And the other one's 807. So yeah, it's a little bit over, yeah, for less, well, is that less than, no, a dollar something.
And I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, the 2.9 will take us easily into 20.
It did, yes. Yeah. Depending on what we do with negotiations that are coming up this spring.
Well, it sounds like we don't have much of an option. The question is what we go for. So
is that the same time the fire levy's on the city?
I don't know that.
I have no
idea.
They
just passed.
I don't know.
They just passed.
Did they?
In March.
Yeah. Was that their final?
That sounds
resolution
right,
or whatever?
I think.
Okay.
I think.
Our timing is always off with that, isn't it?
Well, we weren't going to have to go for an operating levy for another probably 2 years, but thank you, State of Ohio, for pulling the rug out from underneath us.
If we don't go on in March, our next opportunity is
August. August and then November. And historically, it takes us a couple times,
yes, it
and we
does.
Didn't want to miss out on the March opportunity.
Say March, August, and
November.
Now, once again, just to clarify, this operating levy has nothing to do with the new construction or any permanent improvement. It is strictly operating. This was something that we knew going in after the 1.9 mil levy in 2012 that we were going to end up coming back to the voters for in short order anyway. But fortunately, we were able to stretch that out a few extra years through tightening our belts.
It would have stretched longer, too.
Yeah, it stretched longer.
It would have stretched a lot longer.
Stephanie,
if you go back from that, what's it been? About 12 years?
2004, we mm-hmm. passed one. Okay. And then 2012. And the 2004 levy was only supposed to last maybe 3 or 4 years. So yeah, we made that one stretch really.
So the only
that was
new
a 4.9.
Since 2004 is a 1.9.
Correct.
Operating.
Yes.
Operating.
Yes.
Operating.
Do you recall how much a 1.9 cost a homeowner of a $100,000 house?
1.9 is $5.54. These are monthly figures. I don't know if you want month or annual.
I think per month is.
No, yeah, per month, because okay. That's really what
kind of
most people, I think, look at
yeah.
is how it's going to affect their budget.
How far did that one take us? I remember it wasn't. The 1.9 yep. didn't. It just didn't quite get us quite far enough. It was.
It didn't seem like worth working on, because by the time it ran out, or you'd be just doing it right away again.
I think we were just barely getting maybe through 18 into 19, if I remember correctly.
I was just asking just for the framework of how much more this is
going to cost someone. But that's the reason we didn't even kind of put it on there, because it's like, you know,
we'd be doing it again.
Right, when the state takes $450,000 from us.
A year.
A year for the next several years. That means we have to make up that difference somewhere.
Yeah.
Cindy, how long do you think the 2.5 will last?
Probably until 19, maybe 20. Doesn't that sound futuristic? 2020. But yeah, probably 19 or 20. It was in that email that I sent out. And that would be with doing negotiations too. Mm-hmm. Something, you know, we just threw numbers out because obviously we have no idea what that's going to entail.
I think another thing that we have to keep in mind, aside of negotiations, is we are going to have increased costs with operating a new high school. We're going to have larger areas to maintain. So that's going to impact our budget as well.
We can definitely need a maintenance person. Mm-hmm.
I did factor that in when we did the forecast in October. Not this year, but next year, I factored in another maintenance person, knowing that we'd have to mow lawns and do some of that other kind of stuff. There's no way that the three that we have now could do it all. So that's already projected. But I don't know if we'll need custodial. I'm not sure.
Well, the hope would be that we would gain some efficiency costs, too, as we move from five buildings to four, and you know, that it won't, everything won't be an increase, if there will be some opportunities there as well. But yes, you're right.
So I know that no time is a good time to bring a levy before the voters. I know that. Also a voter on a quote fixed income, but I think in order to maintain our schools, in order to maintain the quality of education that we have, we need to put something on this March to make sure that we have some money in our coffers to help us continue to educate kids for several years to come, or at least 4 or 5 years to come. So I would propose the 2.9 mil go on in March.
I tend to agree with that, only because we don't know what the state is going to cut next year. It seems to be the trend, is that more is taken away rather than money given to districts.
Well, along the same line, thank you for bringing that up. When we were on the phone to the gentleman, who were we talking to?
Our attorney, Rick Maniloff.
Right, and he has his ear to the noises coming out of Columbus, and he said, Stephanie asked specifically, well, can this change for the better? Can the number $450,000 change for the better, where they're not going to take quite so much? He said, no, it can only change for the worse at this point with the governor's budget. So we're right now looking, best case scenario, we're losing $450,000.
They always balance the budget on the back of education.
They do.
Us and college, and all those things.
Not community schools.
No, except charter schools. We don't touch those.
Well, that's another thing, that's another reason we're losing so much money, is they're taking money from public school systems to feed the charter schools. And as Jason mentioned last month.
Yeah, that wasn't.
Yeah.
They're performing
so well, aren't they?
No, it's. I mean, this is when I got that email from Cindy. It was a lot of information, and obviously, it's our job as elected officials to keep it afloat. And finances, it's our oath of office, and it's difficult for me as I sat in a food drive and saw how many people needed, and all the stories I heard of the finances. It's difficult. And then I saw your email of the people in need. So like you just said, it's never a good time to put more on people. So that's tough, because it's simple to say $5 doesn't affect me, or but it, I've seen $5 affect people. So, you know, it's tough. So it's been a tough weekend thinking about all this.
You know, along those same lines, Jason, because we have more kids on free and reduced lunch, which is our, when we charge fees or we don't charge fees, and every year, the amount of money that the district pays for, you know, where the student fees were paid, and now if they're on free lunches, we don't charge them their fees, and if they're on reduced lunches, we only charge them half. The amount of money that the district has to pick up has increased. I believe last year it was $110,000 maybe that we paid to offset the fees for free and reduced. Now, we don't pay for the lunches, but it's the fees that we're not paying.
Right.
So yeah, that's increasing. So I understand where you're coming from with
the. I don't know. You have the fire levy in March too. So, I mean, have you talked to the city?
No, we have not. I have not.
Is that new money or is it a renewal?
Renewal.
Oh, then it won't. It's not increased. Yeah, then that's a kind of. That's okay.
Hopefully,
that's okay. Yeah, usually renewals are, you know.
Well, historically, I mean, it has taken us several attempts to try and pass a levy. I mean, we were very fortunate the last time around.
Yeah, I just don't think we can miss the opportunity in March.
Yeah, I don't think it's something that we can
wait on. Because then we're going till August. And then two, on the heels of this, is our permanent improvement levy, but that will be a renewal. It will not be a tax increase, but that will be the calendar year after that. So that won't be till probably 17.
But it has to pass in 17.
Yeah, it has to.
So we can do it the first opportunity in November?
Yes, the first time we can go for the
this
permit.
Fall, yeah, so, next November.
Yeah, so yeah, starting this November and three times, or next November.
Is there any further discussion? Rob?
No. I mean, we have an obligation to run the school. I mean, I think like Dad and Jason said, it's never a good time, but there's certain things you have to do.
Is everyone in agreement for the 2.9?
I mean, what's, Stephanie, what's you're the treasurer.
Oh, I'm sorry, what's your, 2.5 or 2.9? Well, 2.9 is definitely going to give us $120,000 more a year, which definitely is going to help. It doesn't sound, and again, like you said, the difference between $5 or $8, it's hard to say what's okay and what isn't okay. But if we're going to go to the bother of doing it, the work, the energy, the everything that has to go into it, I mean, my recommendation would go for the 2.9 because it doesn't sound much higher than 2.5.
On our 5-year forecast, if you notice, there's one line I don't have it with me. There's one line where it actually, we're always in the red because we're always spending more than we're taking in
right.
from taxes and state money. So I mean, we're still spending more than we're getting, particularly from the state at this point. So in order to offset that, we need to figure out a way to kick up the volume here a little bit. And the finances. So we've already currently done so many value engineering steps to make sure that we're saving money on insurance. We're actually short staffed in some areas right now. I think we need to go to the voters and express our need at this point. Should that be in form of a motion?
We do have a motion on the agenda. I just want to make sure we're all in agreement as to the millage. So is everyone comfortable with the 2.9? Rob?
It's basically 807, 846, is that correct?
729.
729, 546.
The $1.17 difference between 2.5 and 2.9.
What was it again, 7 what?
729.
729.
For the 2.5.
846.
And it raises 100 and...
807, is that ever...
What?
I would only almost get that wrong.
And it raises $111,000 more, the difference between the two, which is your 0.4 for your safety.
Yeah, the 2.9 raises 807,000. That's where you got that from.
Oh, okay.
And the 2.5 is 696,000.
Which is $111,000.
Difference.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because the security levy is 0.4, which is the exact difference, which I didn't realize until I'm sitting here looking until I did the subtraction. The exact difference for the other two. That's why it's $1.17 a month. So we have to discuss that too.
Again, do we have a consensus on the 2.9?
Yes.
I'm all about democracy. Let the people decide. So, if you need to, if Stephanie, our treasurer, tells us, you want.
Well, I think she's given us our recommendation. Yeah. I'm just asking for a consensus among the board members so that we can move forward.
Well, some of it's about selling, too. And, you know, both of them are definitely going to help us in this 2.5 or 2.9.
The 2.5 just means we go back to the voters a little.
We're going
to
go sooner.
We would if we go for the 2.9.
Yeah. You know, I'd love to go for like 10 and never have to do this again. Do it one time and then we're done.
Recommendation like 15.
But I mean, listening when we went through this before, when we went and talked to people in their homes and the door-to-door campaigns, yes, and stuff, what we were told was come to us more often with small amounts.
Right.
So I would like to think that people wouldn't be surprised that we need it again. That we passed 1.9.
Because in 2004, it was 4.9.
Right.
And it was cut in half from 8.9.
Yeah.
So, or whatever.
And the 1.9, when we talked to them, was supposed to last us through 2016. And as it stands, it should still get us through 2018, unless there's something crazy that happens between now and then. Part of our conversation is, you know, we stretched it longer than what we originally thought we would, too. We are tightening our belts and doing what we can.
So you want to try your question again?
I'll ask it one more time. Do we have a consensus to go for a 2.9 mill levy in March?
I say yes. Yes.
Thank you, Rob. Jason?
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Now, let's move on and discuss the security levy.
The security levy would be, we chose 0.4 because our share of the SRO would be $70,000. And I did call and talk to Valerie Carr, and we are still on for that. There's, you know, we're still there with that. They're willing to do their share. So, he said 0.4 brings us 111,000, and we can also use our lawyer that we talked to, so we can use it for that and for other security things. Anything that has to do with security, so just navigate. We could use it on renewal fees, those kinds of things, cameras, whatever would be considered security.
And that would be at a rate of $1.17 a month per $100,000 household.
Yes, everything's per $100,000. And you can only go for 5 years. So we could choose any amount of time.
Up to five years.
But then after 5 years, you would have to go for it again.
Plus the 111,000 gives us the opportunity to look at possible increases in pay scale from the police department.
Yes.
Because they're the ones setting the pay scale.
Yes.
So
Yeah, so this, yeah, the 70 would creep up every year, so that covers that too.
And it's not a lot of extra money, but one of the other things we could use it for was the changing the front entrance of the middle school. If there's surplus money, it could be used for that as well. It doesn't have to just be supplies or personnel. It could go towards doors, windows, that kind of stuff also.
Yes, anything that's considered enhancing security.
Any discussion?
Okay.
Is this something that?
I will propose that we go for the 0.4 mil for the security, or safety and security levy.
And this will be a guarantee that they're going to get an SRO.
That would be a part of it.
It would, yeah. Because clearly, our other budget does not support it, at this point especially, since they...
Please with that.
Yes.
Okay, that's the easy one. So these will both be on, is that the consensus that we have?
Yes.
And we're going to vote on these tonight.
Yes, we have to vote on
them.
We have
to vote on the first. You were right in the amounts, right, tonight?
Yep.
Okay.
We have to vote on the first one.
And then we have to vote on it again next week.
Yes, and we take it to the Summit County Fiscal Office. They approve it, and then we vote on it, and then it goes to the Board of Elections.
Okay.
And the deadline is what?
December 16th.
Anything further from finance?
Isn't that enough?
Just
unfortunately. Double. Yeah, that's it.
Okay, under letter B, can I have a motion to approve the resolution declaring it necessary to levy an additional current expense tax levy and requesting the Summit County Fiscal Officer to certify the total current tax valuation of the school district and the dollar amount of revenue that would be generated by that additional levy?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Mr. Knight?
Yes.
Mr. Sams?
Yes.
Mr. Santelli?
Yes.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes. Motion carries 5-0. Under letter C, can I have a motion to approve the resolution declaring it necessary to levy an additional school safety and security tax levy and requesting the Summit County Fiscal Officer to certify the total current tax valuation of the school district and the dollar amount of revenue that would be generated by that additional levy?
So moved. Second.
Any discussion?
Is that you, Rob?
Yes.
Call the roll, please.
Mr. Sams?
Yes.
Mr. Santelli?
Yes.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Mr. Knight?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0. Superintendent's report.
The only thing, and I would just add this in terms of the levels of, you know, from a district standpoint, it always is extremely difficult to step back and ask the community for additional dollars to operate. The only thing that I would continue to kind of reinforce is that we've certainly done an awful lot to reduce over a period of years. We've got a staff that works extremely, extremely well to make sure that we stay within budget. We've got a treasurer that's done an outstanding job through negotiations and looking at different things we could do financially with insurance and so forth to keep us under budget. You know, I could go around the table, our curriculum director, with our budget for textbooks and so forth. We really do work very hard at trying to be fiscally responsible. And so these motions and the decision to move forward and ask for dollars don't come easy at all. But I do appreciate the conversation and the consideration given to the agenda tonight.
All right, if there's nothing further at this time, can we have a motion or can we go into executive session to discuss the superintendent and the treasurer evaluations?
So moved.
Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Mr. Santelli?
Yes.
Mrs. Lovell?
Yes.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Mr. Knight?
Yes.
Mr. Sams?
Motion carries 5-0. Thank you all for coming.
It's exactly 1 hour.